We are here at the JJ Bean Coffee Shop on the UBC campus. For anyone who has not been here before, it's a beautiful building that's filled most of the day with students, teachers, and other staff. In Vancouver, coffee shops are not only a place where we go for a drink, but somewhere we go to meet with others, with a loved one, a new friend, or sit with family. A number of years ago, I was at a local coffee shop when I saw someone sitting and drinking coffee alone in a nearby seat. From what I could tell, she was not only alone, but lonely. A little while later, I looked up from my computer, and I saw that someone else who had been sitting in another part of the coffee shop had come over and started a casual conversation with her. Before long, they were laughing and engaged in a lively conversation together. This woman had come for something good, a cup of coffee, but had left with something better, a meaningful connection. We are in a sermon series at 10th Church called Sacred Spaces. And just as we did last summer, we're filming each message from a different location around our city that can speak to us and allow us to experience God in fresh and creative ways. So far, we've looked at the ways that we can experience God in a park, an art gallery, the streets, a garden, and now, a coffee shop. Today, we're going to listen to a story of Jesus meeting with a woman at an ancient meeting place, at a well. And while the woman initially came to the well for water, we'll see that Jesus offers her something even greater, something that meets an even deeper need. The passage can be found in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, which I'll be reading from throughout this message. The story begins at a well. In the ancient world, wells were one of the meeting places where people could come for one of their most essential needs, water. Having traveled many miles, we're told that at noon, the hottest time of the day, Jesus was exhausted from his journey, so he sits to rest. While his disciples are away buying food and restoring their supplies for the rest of the journey, a woman from the area that they're in, called Samaria, came to draw water. The subtlety of the scene may be lost on us today, but it would not have been lost on Jesus. In the ancient Middle East, it was customary for villagers to come and draw water in the morning, which was the coolest time of day. In a hot, dry climate, the morning was naturally the best time to come and to draw water. Just as a coffee shop is full of people in the morning coming to grab a cup of coffee on their way to work or to school, so too a well was full of people who had come to fill their daily water buckets. Also like a coffee shop, people would come to connect with neighbors, catch up with friends, and visit family. But rather than coming to draw water in the cool of the morning, this woman was hauling her heavy water pots at the hottest time of day. These water pots could hold up to 9 gallons of water, which could weigh up to 80 pounds, and people often carried two. We've just come through a heat wave here in Vancouver, so maybe you can imagine hauling on your back, on your shoulders, over 100 pounds of water during the hottest days of the heat wave. That's hard for me to imagine. But that's exactly what this woman was doing every day. Why would someone choose to collect water at the hottest time of day rather than in the cool of the morning? It's most likely that she either didn't want to be seen by others or that she wasn't welcome. We found out a bit later in the story that this is likely due to a number of broken relationships with men from her past. Her painful history has caused her to experience isolation from her community. And any reminder of this reality likely would have added to the shame and pain that she experiences. The barriers in the scene become increasingly apparent as we remember that due to hundreds of years of conflict and religious rivalry, Jews and Samaritans did not mix. If a Jewish man like Jesus even touched a cup that had been previously touched by a Samaritan, like the woman in our story, then that person would be considered ritually unclean. On top of that, it was socially taboo for men and women to meet together in private. And in the story, Jesus and the woman were alone. Every barrier has been placed between Jesus and the woman. Social norms, religious expectations, and customs around gender. Into this setting, we read the following conversation between Jesus and the woman. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Every barrier exists between this woman and Jesus. And because of the barriers, the woman would not have expected Jesus to begin a conversation with her, not to mention ask her for something like water. But that's exactly what he does. Jesus meets the woman right where she is. He doesn't first say, "Get your life together and then let's talk." But instead he says, "Come as you are." Over the years, I've heard many stories where Jesus has met somebody in a broken and painful situation, just as they were. One story that comes to mind is my friend Carlos. Over 10 years ago, Carlos was turning to anything that would distract him from the pain of a painful breakup with his partner. And when he ran out of money, he started sleeping in parks and streets throughout the city. At one point, he felt there was no way to get out of his situation and find hope. He started wishing that his life would end through drug overdose so that he wouldn't have to continue to feel the pain and the shame of his past and his present. And so while he was living on the streets, he was invited to a meal where he got to know others. It was a place where he was seen and heard, just as he was. Carlos said he attended these meals 5 days a week for months. And as he got to know other people at the meal, he slowly began to let his guard down. One day at the house, someone was playing a song that had the lyrics, "Take me as you find me." These lyrics were powerful for Carlos and connected to him in his present situation. In the midst of his hurt and his pain, his shame for what he'd gone through, Jesus saw him and wanted to take him just as he was. In this moment, Carlos called out, "Help me, Lord." Carlos then told me that he felt something he'd never experienced before, a kind of peace that didn't make sense given his current life circumstance. In the midst of his broken and painful reality, Carlos was seen. He was known, and he was loved by Jesus just as he was. Jesus didn't say to Carlos, "Go and get your life together, and then I want to know you." But instead comes to Carlos and to us just as we are. Jesus meets us in our greatest places of need. And this is exactly what happens for the woman at the well. Jesus met her exactly where she was, in the middle of the hottest time of the day, present to her experience of alienation and shame from her community. And Jesus met her right there. He didn't first ask her to change, but broke through the barriers to meet her where she was. Then the conversation between Jesus and the woman continued. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water." The woman came to the well to fill her water pots. But through their conversation, Jesus can hear that her greatest need is not for water, but for something more. We can hear this in the woman's response to Jesus' offer to give her water that will become a spring, a well to eternal life. Yet the woman isn't interested in the water that Jesus offers for her own thirst's sake, or even for some religious reasons. Instead, we hear her true desire in her response. She says, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water." Her thirst goes deeper than water. She's interested in what Jesus is offering so that she won't have to keep coming back to the well day after day. By coming alone to the well in the heat of the day, she's reminded again and again of her shame and her feelings of unworthiness. And right now, all she wants is the freedom from the stares, finger pointing, words spoken behind her back, and constant reminders of her mistakes and what has already been done to her. The woman came to the well seeking water, but soon we can see that she's actually looking for something deeper. She's seeking belonging, connection, or at least, if she can't have that, the freedom from the rejection, shame, and constant reminders of her past. We all go to different places to try and fill our empty water pots, don't we? For me, one of the places that I go to fill my pot when it's empty is Facebook. Even though I hardly ever post on Facebook, I know that I'm either not doing well personally, I'm tired, or that I don't want to deal with something in my life when I start mindlessly scrolling through my Facebook feed. 5 to 10 minutes can go by before I even realize that I'm trying to fill my water pot with something that can't quench my thirst. In the moment, a deeper unmet need in my life exists, and I'm trying to fill or distract myself from it by just scrolling on my Facebook feed. Throughout the pandemic, I've been talking with many of you, as well as reading statistics from medical doctors and mental health professionals. It's become clear that nearly all of us are living with empty water pots in one way or another. The question isn't, is your pot empty, but in what way is your pot empty? Are you exhausted, burned out, afraid, lonely, unsure of your future, or are dealing with relational conflict with your spouse or your children? Or perhaps there's a health crisis in your family. Where are your pots empty today? And where are the places that you're going to fill those pots, or at least to distract yourself from them? Food, Netflix, social media, unhealthy relationships? We go to these places because we feel a need and are looking in some way to fill our pots, even for a moment. Up to this point, the conversation between Jesus and the woman has stayed mostly at a casual, surface level. But in opening herself up and hinting to her deeper need, the emotional and personal nature of their conversation is about to go very deep, very quickly. Jesus says to the woman, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Some of you may be thinking, why would Jesus bring up the most painful memories and moments in their conversation together? Why would he remind her of her isolation and her shame? And why would he risk re-traumatizing her all over again? A few weeks ago, my sister Carly was in town. And one morning, while she was visiting our home, I asked her about this story and why she thought Jesus may be bringing up this painful memory during their conversation together. My sister works as a professor and a therapist who has helped many people who have painful and traumatic histories. She said that in therapy, there is something called a corrective emotional experience. The purpose of corrective emotional experience is to re-expose someone to a difficult or painful experience or memory from their past under new, supportive, trusted circumstances in order to bring healing for their traumatic experiences. While bringing up these painful or traumatic memories can be initially painful, in the context of a supportive and trusted relationship, there can be healing where there was previously shame. My sister then said this, wounds that are created in community can also be healed in community through safe spaces. Jesus doesn't just acknowledge the hurt, but he creates a safe space for her to experience healing from the shame that she has known. The woman didn't travel to the well looking to open up her heart, but instead Jesus, through the safe presence, creates a place for her to begin to open up. My new colleague at 10th, Ashling, who is our new family life pastor, recently explained that when children get into the proximity of a safe figure, they show their wounds to them. It's striking that Jesus so quickly becomes a safe space for her. She didn't leave that morning hoping to share her wounds with a stranger, but Jesus quickly became a safe space for her. Like a child in the presence of a safe figure, she too shows her wounds to him. And what's more, her wounds begin to heal in Jesus' presence. If the conversation had ended before Jesus had acknowledged that he fully knew her and her past, the woman could have walked away, thinking that Jesus was good and kind, but she also would have probably thought, if he knew me, the real me, then he would have rejected me too. Her past was filled with shame and rejection caused especially by men. But by bringing up this memory from her past in a safe, trusted space, healing was able to begin. Being known and loved are not secondary human needs, but primary ones. I've been reading a book by Dr. Sue Johnson called Hold Me Tight. And in the book, she draws on attachment theory, which says that we as humans have a primary drive and need to belong, to attach ourselves to another and to experience being known and loved. Dr. Johnson says, love is not the icing on the cake of life. It's a basic primary need, like oxygen or water. The Samaritan woman came to the well looking to fill her pots with water, one of the basic needs of human life. But instead, Jesus offers her another kind of water, a kind of water that comes from himself, a living water that becomes in a person abundant life. This abundant life isn't conditional on whether she feels worthy or whether she's accepted by others. And Jesus confirms this by showing her that he knows her. He knows the pain that she has experienced, the shame she's felt and her rejection by others. This living water isn't conditional on her past, but only on her willingness to receive it. Jesus is inviting this woman who has known great shame and rejection to eternal life, abundant life, now, to experience freedom from rejection and shame, and instead to experience love and belonging from someone who knows her completely. The author and theologian J.I. Packer says, to be right with God, the judge, is a great thing, but to be loved and cared for by God the Father is greater. The greatest privilege we can experience is to be known and loved by God. Jesus meets us exactly where we are, regardless of our past, and our present. And he invites us into a new life that is rooted in our deepest need to be known, to be loved, and to belong. Jesus may meet us in one place, in a desire or a need, but the invitation is always deeper, into healing, towards wholeness, to receive forgiveness. What the woman experiences is so significant that she ends up leaving her water pot behind and goes back into her village saying, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" Imagine experiencing something so life-changing that you knowingly leave your coffee behind in the coffee shop to go and tell others of what you've just heard. But that's what she does. She leaves her water pot behind to tell everyone that she met a man who knew her completely. She becomes the first person to share the good news of Jesus with others. And it's her experience of being known by Jesus that she is most eager to share with them. "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." And I think she may also have added, "and didn't reject me, but welcomed me and loved the real me. And he welcomes you too." Wherever you are, personally, emotionally, relationally, Jesus comes to offer you a kind of water that can quench your deepest thirst, your thirst for belonging, for being known, for forgiveness, and for love, a thirst that only he can quench. This summer, let me invite you to go and find a sacred space of your own. Perhaps your own local coffee shop, a park, a local hike, or even a cozy corner of your home. And in that sacred space, to follow the invitation of the woman at the well, who invites you. "Come, see a man who knows everything you've ever done. A man who doesn't reject you, but who promises to quench your thirst, your deepest thirst, for connection, for belonging, and for new life."